When you face disappointments, if you remember, like, oh, God gave his son, he will graciously give me all I need in this disappointing circumstance. I'll be okay. God's got me. God's going to take care of me in these moments because he gave me his son the ultimate price.
Hey, Veritas, this is Ian Crosby and Michael Rhodes, and you're listening to Beyond the Message. Dun, dun, dun. I do that every time I host this, and you think Sam would figure out that I just probably should not host this podcast.
He gets mad at us because because it's like, this is not how the thing starts. He actually doesn't get mad at us, but he's telling me, he's like, Michael, we have our own intro for this. You don't have to have an intro. And I'm like,
but it's just more fun when
totally.
You add one, I think.
Yes.
Well, Michael, thanks for joining us this morning. And we are continuing our Advent series. And so you preached on the generosity of God yesterday, which was awesome. And so appreciate you bringing the word, your main point, and we'll just jump
right
into it.
If it wasn't awesome, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you. If it wasn't awesome, would you be like, it was actually really terrible?
Honestly, actually, that's why I invited you here this morning, Michael. I just wanted, your main point was Jesus is the ultimate proof that God always provides for his plan. And so talking about generosity, and Morgan and I were just talking about this at lunch, where we just appreciated that in talking about generosity, that it didn't go towards money. And sure. I think, like, when people hear generosity, that's what they naturally think of, which makes sense. But the thing I've loved about this series in general was that we're not focusing on what we do, but we're focusing on what God has done and what that shows about him. Yeah. So I appreciated your
we had to ask for money before the service officially began. Which was fine. I mean, we're talking about like getting out of debt.
Just like people connect the dots here.
But it's not. But the application wasn't, God's been generous to us, so go be generous.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, our people would because they would recognize the generosity of God and they would do that.
Yeah. It's weird where it's like it's the direct application of this is not that you would give, but you should give.
Sure. Yeah.
Because totally. That is a good application.
I think I said at 11 o'clock, I was like, we'll still take your money for a
Oh, yeah, you did. I thought that was good. I thought that was good. But yeah, as we jump in, first question always is if there's something else that you could include in your message you didn't have time for, you had to cut it out. Yeah. Anything else you would like to expand on?
I think, man, there's a couple places probably. Just the generosity of God throughout the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I don't have time to cover all those things, right? But like,
well, you said we have what, hour and a half, right, Zach?
He just rolled his head. We saw the back of his head, but he rolled his eyes.
You could tell.
I mean, anything we talked about, like God giving us the world, right? Mm-hmm. He gave us the gave us life. He gives us spirit. He gives us good gifts. We didn't get to cover any of those kind of things. So, I mean, if you just march through the scriptures.
Yeah, because you did that even just with the beginning of Romans 8.
Yeah,
it's like,
totally.
What would happen if you expanded past just one chapter of the Bible? Like, you just see all of God's generosity.
Sure. I think the interesting thing as I looked and I thought about Romans 1, of the things that he actually gives us that we desire, like, he gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. He gave them up to dishonorable passions. He gave them up to a debased mind of like, this is what you ultimately wanted and you got it. And you're in a miserable place now because of that, you know? And so that was just interesting in my study. Didn't have time to go into all that kind of stuff.
That's interesting. I think that's even, like, you see the generosity of God even in withholding what we want. Like, in our flesh, those are the things that we want. Yet God is generous and not giving us what we want.
Totally.
Like, yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah. I think the other thing, if I had more time to go into like letting God's generosity be the fuel for the believer to be bold and be resolved to be faithful in the sense of when you face disappointments, if you remember like, oh, God gave his son, like he will graciously give me all I need in this disappointing circumstance, or I really need your patience in this. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. Like, oh, he gave you his son. Surely he'll give you patience here.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many ways. And the setbacks of life, the disappointments, the fears, the worries. Like, if we just grabbed a hold of Romans 8:32 and remembered it and like, okay, I'll be okay. God's got me. God's going to take care of me in these moments because he gave me his son, the ultimate prize.
Yeah, I think as you were preaching and then even this morning a little bit, was thinking how much this also relates to like Psalm 23. It's like, because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Sure.
Even when it feels like I do, like God has been so generous that I don't actually lack.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's sweet. Well, you went to Genesis 3 and talking about the generosity of God, which is seems like a weird place to go initially, but you did that to show how even from the very beginning, Satan, he tries to get people, like God's creation, to think that God is stingy or think that God is withholding. Why do you think that's the tactic Satan uses?
I mean, it says right at the beginning, like, he's crafty. Like, he is the one, he's going to subtly twist things, right? Like, hey, didn't God say you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? And Eve's like, he just said I couldn't eat from this one tree, right?
Yeah.
But Satan's going to be so crafty, and he's going to just twist things ever so gently. And so I think the way to fight against that, though, in order to like fight against the lies, you got to know the truth, mm-hmm. right? And so when you hear the like lie in the back of your mind, like, look what God didn't want the best for you. God's holding out for you, like all those kind of things. And not like a prosperity gospel way, but just like, I don't think God is doing what he should be doing in my life, which is just like a little delusional that you think you're in control of your life. But you got to know the truth. Like, you got to cling to the truth, and you got to, like, I would just say memorize Romans 8:32 and have that like play in your mind every time you hear those lies. Like, no, that's not true. Like, God does graciously give me all things.
Yeah.
And so I've never looked into the illustration. Many people have used it before. Like, how do you know a counterfeit? Right?
Yeah.
You know a counterfeit by studying the real thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and then it's easy to identify the counterfeit. Again, I don't know if that illustration actually is true. It makes sense. And so I think the same thing would be true of like, just hide God's word in your heart that you may not sin against him, right?
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I was thinking about, the reason that it could be that Satan tries to just make us think that God is stingy, because that's a really subtle way to make us think that we're the most important thing.
Sure.
Like, it's a really easy way for us to think that life is about us.
Sure.
Because even in him doing that with Eve in the garden, it was like, Eve, you deserve so much better than this.
Sure.
Like, you deserve to eat all the fruit. You deserve to be like God.
Yeah.
And I think Satan just really loves to convince people to live life for themselves and not for God.
Which goes back to your sermon last week on humility, like being preoccupied with the glory of God, of like, but we get so preoccupied with ourselves.
Yeah. Satan's good at his job.
He is.
He really is.
God's better at his job.
Yeah. Amen to that. Pastorally, how do you help someone see the hard things in life as part of the graciously give us all things mentioned at the end of Romans 8:32?
Yeah.
So people go through hard stuff. We all have gone through hard stuff. And yet Romans 8 tells us that he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So in the midst of suffering, in the midst of apparent lack, in the midst of pain, how do we count those things as part of God's graciously giving us of all things?
Yeah, I want, like, my hope as a pastor, I would be like gentle and kind in these circumstances, but I want to point people to the truth. I think the world would say, just, you got to look for the positive in it. Just put a positive spin, like count all your blessings of like, all here's all the positive things in the hard thing. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather our church than just put a positive spin on it. Like, look for what the Lord is doing in it. Like, how is the Lord teaching you in this moment? What is he teaching you about himself? How are you becoming more like him? Like, that's the James 1, like, consider it a joy when you face trials of all circumstances, ultimately because he's working out his like, you're becoming more like him through these trials. So helping people, going back to the preoccupation with God's glory, like, in the midst of those circumstances, our eyes can get so focused on us. And I've been there. Like, I've walked through that, where the attention is on me and that's all I'm thinking about, and I failed to see like what the Lord's doing in it. So I think pastorally, just saying, like, don't just look for the positives. I would much prefer you look for what the Lord is doing in the midst of those circumstances. And again, I'm going to try to be gentle and kind as a pastor in those moments and sensitive to the hard thing that people are going through. But go, we got to dwell on what the Lord's doing, not just on what we think might be helpful for us in that moment.
So. Yeah, that's good. Because ultimately, even some of that is just like helping us feel better about it too. And that's not even the ultimate goal.
No,
like the goal
isn't
just to feel better about the situation you're going through. Like losing a child is hard no matter what. And the goal isn't just to feel better about that it's happening, but to see God really is good. And even in this hardship, he's good. And even in this hardship, he's accomplishing his glory. And we might not understand that in the moment or see that in the moment. But like you said, see what is God doing? How is God actually accomplishing his glory?
I don't want to gloss over their pain and be like, well, you know, something bad happened to your kid. Like, something bad happened to your kid. That's awful. That's broken. Yeah. Like, that's not the world that God created, right? And so we can lament and grieve and mourn those moments. But ultimately, we want to say like, oh, in the midst of the pain, God's preparing for you an eternal weight of glory.
Yeah.
So,
that's sweet. And then last question I have is, how can someone begin to see God's generosity through the cross instead of through their circumstances?
Yeah. So I just want to say like, If we took communion every day, right? Like, Jesus would say, take it as often as you can, right? Take it when you come to communion, go like, man, my circumstances are hard, but man, how good is this gift from that God would give his own son? You know, just those moments where you're not forgetting the cross in your circumstance. Like Jesus like joyfully endured, you know, the cross.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing that he would joyfully go through this. And so whatever circumstance you're walking through, like let it always be the filter of like, man, Jesus went through this for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you start to reframe your mind in the sense of like, Jesus went to the cross. Like God sent his own son to do that. It does just reframe the generosity of God. Like, you know that his character is not a withholding character.
Sure.
You know that his character is not a stingy character. And so when you see the proof of, like you said, that when you see Jesus as the ultimate proof of like God's ultimate plan and you see it as God's generosity revealed, then it's like, man, it doesn't matter what happens. I know God is generous. So I know that this is actually beneficial.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is, but I know that it is. And so I think it takes an insane amount of faith that only the Spirit can give to be able to do that. But when you actually see Jesus is proof that God is a generous God.
Sure.
So I can trust that he's generous in all things that happen.
In all things. And we've talked about some of these like really heavy things, but he's generous in the moment when your toddler's like,
yeah,
throw in a crazy fit. I don't know why that's coming to my mind right now, but
probably,
you know,
because it's happening in my home often and I needed to hear it.
You know, but God is graciously giving us those moments as believers to shape us to become more like him.
Yeah.
And so I don't want us to think of all just the really dark, gloomy circumstances, but also the like everyday circumstances of like, oh, God's graciously given you all things you need to accomplish his plan right now.
Yeah.
And that could be, something with your kids, something with your job, something with family at Christmas, whatever it may be. Like God's working all this out for your good. He's going to graciously give you all things. And how do we know that? Well, because he sent his son.
And I think even on the positive side of that too, even in the good things that he gives,
so
it's like, God, you are so good and generous.
Yes.
But this also doesn't even compare to the generosity you showed in Christ.
Correct.
And so it's like, God, you could give me X, Y, and Z, and that still doesn't compare to the generosity you've shown me in Jesus.
Sure.
And ultimately, like, that's what we want to be, the frame of reference that we have for the generosity of God.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Sweet. Well, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, if you guys have any questions, as always, reach out to us, send us an email. We'd love to answer some questions. No one had any questions for you this morning, so
that was either it was terrible or it wasn't.
So clear that no one had any questions about it. But thanks for joining us this morning on Beyond the Message. We'll talk to you guys next week.